Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai. Till now you are listening to the live broadcast from the Sai Kulwant Hall, and today you heard a wonderful rendition of Bura Katha by three former students of Bhagwan's University, Arvind Sai, who is my colleague in Radio Sai, and two others, Prabhakar, the main singer who now works in Crisil in Chennai, and Raghuram, who is pursuing medicine in Bangalore. In fact, as I was listening to them, I was reminded of how thrilled Bhagwan used to be whenever this trio performed in front of his presence. In fact, he used to beckon them often and ask them to sing these songs again and again. In fact, during the Kodai trip in 2009, Swami asked them to perform three Bura Kathas in quick succession in a span of 4 to 5 days. It was almost back to back. And how delighted Bhagwan was listening to these renditions. Off and on he used to ask them to perform these presentations, and he would be lost listening to them. Well, that is the power of devotional music when it is offered with purity and sincerity. What it can do is simply magical. It can become medicine for the body, cleanse the mind, and simply elevate the spirit to experience union with the divine. And that is the reason why probably Bhagwan started this spiritual practice of bhajan singing right from the day he declared his avatarhood. And today it has become such a glorious and fulfilling movement across the globe. And we are happy that we in Radio Sai, in our own small way, are able to participate in this mission. And that is the reason why we continue to have this program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And before we begin today's episode, let us again think of the Lord with gratitude. Let us first offer our most loving and most prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the one who is the most powerful, at the same time most merciful, the most charismatic, at the same time most caring and compassionate. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we hold on to you no matter what, so that we stand up and rise every time we fall and march steadily with vigor and speed towards the destination that you have laid down for us. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome, dear listeners, to yet another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today is dedicated to Mother Sai, the cosmic energy principle. The first line goes like this:
Dehi Sharanam Simhavahini.
And now let's get familiar with its complete lyrics, which are in Sanskrit. And after this, we will learn to sing this bhajan and also discuss in detail about its raga, tala, and the meaning of its every line. Finally, in the end, we will have a short conversation with a long-standing member of the Prashanthi Bhajan group, Mr. Sujit Kumar, who even now sings in Prashanthi every day. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Dehi Sharanam Simha Vahini. Dehi Sharanam Asura Vinashini. Dehi Sharanam Bhava Bhaya Harini. Dehi Sharanam Hari Narayani. Dehi Sharanam Brahma Sanatani. Dehi Sharanam Sai Narayani.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to singing this bhajan. First, you will hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line slowly without any musical accompaniments. Brother Anirudh will follow him after every line. Dear listeners, please do join Anirudh and sing along. You will like it.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp madhyam.
Dehi sharanam simhavahini. Dehi sharanam simhavahini. Dehi sharanam simhavahini. Dehi sharanam simhavahini.
Dehi sharanam asuravinashini.
Dehi sharanam asuravinashini.
Dehi sharanam asuravinashini.
Dehi sharanam asuravinashini.
Dehi sharanam bhavabhayaharini.
Dehi sharanam bhavabhayaharini.
Dehi sharanam bhavabhayaharini.
Dehi sharanam bhavabhayaharini.
Dehi sharanam harinarayani.
Dehi sharanam harinarayani.
Dehi sharanam harinarayani.
Dehi sharanam harinarayani.
Dehi sharanam brahma sanatani.
Dehi sharanam brahma sanatani.
Dehi sharanam brahma sanatani.
Dehi sharanam brahma sanatani.
Dehi sharanam sai narayani.
Dehi sharanam sai narayani.
Dehi sharanam sai narayani.
Dehi sharanam sai narayani.
Dehi sharanam simhavahini.
And now let's learn about the composition of this bhajan and what are the notes that make this bhajan. And for this, Brother Anirudh, my colleague, is here with me in the studios now. Welcome, Anirudh, to this program.
Thank you, Vishu.
So in which raga is this bhajan based, Anirudh?
Vishu, this bhajan is a very complicated composition.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can't tell that this bhajan belongs to a particular raga.
Okay.
Because if you observe every line, it goes to different moods.
Mm-hmm.
Different notes, it just travels along and then comes back.
Well, you feel the same when you sing this bhajan, but yeah, you don't know the technicalities behind.
Yeah, it's a very different composition where it is not particular raga based. Maybe I can just help you out with whatever little I know.
Sure.
That the closest ragas which associated
Yes.
With this bhajan.
Yeah.
Very beautiful composition it is. Dehi sharanam simhavahini. If you see this particular line, manidanida mamaga gamamaga sa. Here both gas come. Ga mama ga. Shuddhan komal ga.
Yes.
Sa. So it is not a particular raga based, but the feel of the line is closest to a raga called Surya, where the notes of this raga are sa ga ma dha ne sa. Sa ne dha ma ga sa. What comes to my mind immediately is a rag called Malkons.
Yes, that is exactly what came to my mind too.
Where it is just a difference of one note, which is ga. Sa ga.
Yes.
In Surya it is sa ga.
Shuddh.
And whereas in this line, ga ma ma ga sa, both gas come. So it is a combination, it is a combined feel of both Surya and Malkons, I can say.
That is about the first line.
That is the first line.
Okay.
And then if you go on, Dehi Sharanam Asura Vinashini. This also retains in the same feel of both Surya and Malkons. Gazani Sadani Maga Gagama Gamadani Dama. Then it goes to a major scale.
Okay.
Dehi Sharanam Bhava Bhayaharini. Dhanini sa 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 sarini sanida. It is, what comes to my mind is, it goes to a major raga, where I don't know which raga exactly it belongs to. It gives a feel of like Bhagishri sa ga ma da ni sa. Arohana of Bhagishri kind of thing. Da ni ni sa sa. And re is also there. Sa sa re ni sa ni da. So it is a mixture of...
Again, a mixture of Bhagishri, yeah, and maybe something
some
else.
Some other raga. Dehi Sharanam Hari Narayani Padani Dani Ni Nini Sada Sanida. Dehi Sharanam Hari Narayani Padani Dani Ni Nini Sada Zagari Nida. This also retains in the same feel of Bhageshri, and I don't know which
other raga,
it belongs to exactly. Then it changes to a minor. Dehi Sharanam Brahma Sanatani. Beautiful composition, this, especially this line. The transition from the major to minor is very beautifully composed. Ma pa dha pa dha dha. The minor dha comes here.
Yes.
Sa ni da ma 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 ga. Again it goes back to a major. Dehi Sharanam Dha 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 sa ni dha. Dha shuddh dha dha sa ni dha dha. Komal dha.
Yes.
Dha dha pa pa ni dha ni dha pa. You can say this also gives a feel of Kapi raga. Where you have both major and minor feel. Ta na na na. Ah, 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 ah. Here both Komalda also come.
Yes.
As a whole, I don't know which raga it exactly belongs to, but this composition is based on a mixture of different ragas and different emotions.
And I think that is what lends so much beauty to this whole composition. You have so many transitions of major, minor and different notes.
Yeah.
And I think as we many times discussed before, just spontaneous outpouring of a person's feelings.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
And now we are trying to figure out which raga it belongs to. And I think a lot of Sai bhajans are like this, isn't it? I mean, I think probably you may be aware of many other bhajans which again do not fall into one raga, but like this, you know, different lines fall into different ragas.
Most of the bhajans don't fall into one raga.
Yes.
As you mentioned earlier, that it's a spontaneous output of the composer. Well, I can give you some bhajans are examples, like
Karuna Sagar He Nandalala Murali Manohara Shyam Gopala.
Beautiful change in the
way
it has been composed.
Murali Manohara Shyam Gopala Karuna Sagar He Nandalala Giridhara Nagar Sai Gopala.
Here the feel of the bhajan changes.
Very different.
Giridhara Nagar Sai Gopala.
Again comes back to the original feel.
Meera Ke Prabhu Shyam Gopala.
And one more bhajan which comes to my mind, which is based on a mixture of ragas, is
Karuna Niketana Bhakta Sakha Prabhu Sharana Milo Bhagavan Dukha Vanjana Shri Ram.
And then it goes to
Tribhuvana Sanchar.
Yes. So it becomes very different.
Very different.
Wonderful. All we can say about the composition of this bhajan is it's a lovely composition.
Yes, definitely.
And it is this mixture of different moods and different ragas and different major and minor notes that is so unique to this bhajan.
Definitely.
Yeah. Wonderful, Anirudh, for sharing your impressions about the composition of this bhajan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sit down. So that was the brief explanation of the raga. And moving now to the tala, this bhajan is set to the 8-bit Kerva tal, which is also called the Adi Talam in Carnatic music. And now comes the most important aspect, the bhava. That is the feeling with which we should make this musical offering to the Lord. And for this, we need to know what each word in this bhajan conveys. Let's start with the first line.
Dehi sharanam simhavahini.
Dehi sharanam simhavahini.
The first word is dehi, meaning grant. The second word is sharanam, meaning refuge or protection. So dehi sharanam means grant me protection, grant me refuge. And this phrase occurs in all the lines of this bhajan. The third word is simha, which denotes a lion. And the last word is vahini, which means she who rides on. Therefore, simha vahini refers to Mother Durga, whose mount is a lion. Bhagwan Baba explains that the supreme Shakti or the cosmic energy principle manifests herself in the form of Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati. And about Durga, Swami says, Durga grants to us energy that is physical, mental and spiritual. Mother Durga is the goddess who embodies all energy and power. They say Durgatinashini Durga, which means the goddess that removes all evil influences. And she is depicted riding on a lion, which represents heroism, courage and strength. Bhagwan Baba, while speaking to the students in 1981, the same year the Sai University was established, he said, "In this land of Bharat, which for centuries was revered as the treasure house of spiritual riches, unfortunately, today here unrighteousness, injustice and falsehood and selfishness are running amok. Therefore, all the students should rise like lion cubs and with courage and strength establish peace and restore righteousness in individual, social and national life." Bhagwan always inspired the students to be like lions, and that is the reason why we see so many statues of golden lions in Sai Kulwant Hall, especially in the area where the students sit during the prayer sessions. So that is the significance of Mother Durga seen mounted on a lion. Hence in this line, Dehi Sharanam Simha Vahini, we pray to the Divine Mother Durga, who rides on a lion to protect us at all times and who guides and safeguards us on the path of righteousness. Let's move on to the second line.
Dehi Sharanam Asura Vinashini.
Dehi Sharanam Asura Vinashini.
Here the new words are Asura Vinashini. Asura meaning demon, and the last word Vinashini means she who annihilates. In Devi Mahatmyam, the sacred text describing the glories of the Divine Mother, there is the story of Mother Durga killing the demon Mahisha. But the inner significance of this episode is that the Divine Mother actually destroys our demonic qualities. And how she does it is always a mysterious and fascinating tale. There is a beautiful incident in the life of Sri Paramahansa Yogananda, the great saint and author of that classic volume, Autobiography of a Yogi. Once Yogananda's eldest sister, Roma, requested him to change the mind of her husband, Satish, because he ridiculed the pictures of saints in her meditation room. Paramahansa got a divine inspiration during meditation and then told her to accompany him to the Kali temple at Dakshineshwar the next day along with her husband Satish. Yogananda felt that the holy atmosphere would have an impact on Satish, but asked Roma not to tell him about the reason of this visit. The next morning, Paramahansa, Roma and Satish set out for this temple. As they travelled, Satish kept mocking at saints and about what they do. In fact, when their cab entered the temple grounds, Satish asked if the trip was a scheme to reform him. When Yogananda did not reply, an irritated Satish said, "Young Mr. Monk, don't forget to make proper arrangements with the temple authorities to provide for our noon meal." Yogananda replied that he was going to meditate and that the Divine Mother would take care of their lunch. And Satish replied in disgust that he did not trust the Divine Mother to do a single thing for him and told Yogananda to be responsible for their food. And then Yogananda silently moved to a shady spot and began meditating. It was 7 a.m. in the morning. Although he experienced divine peace, he could not see the Divine Mother's form. Around noon, when he opened his eyes, Yogananda saw the priest locking the temple doors, and as he stepped into the courtyard, his feet got scorched in the blazing heat. He silently argued with the Divine Mother that he hadn't been blessed with the vision during his meditation, and now she hid behind closed doors. The priest had locked the mandir. And he added that he had come to pray especially for Satish. And now as he prayed to the Divine Mother and his prayers became intense, there was an instant response from the Divine Mother. He felt a cold and soothing wave that descended over his back and under his feet. And then to his
astonishment, the temple became greatly magnified, the doors opened, revealing to him the stone figure of the goddess, and to his amazement and joy, the stone idol in his vision gradually transformed into a living form. The Divine Mother, he saw, was smilingly looking at him, and she nodded, and this simply thrilled Paramahansa to no end. And then he felt his consciousness expand, and this beautiful vision enveloped him, and in fact he writes about this in great detail. And after this, Yogananda saw Satish seated under a tree. He could easily read his mind and knew that the holy atmosphere had some impact on Satish, but still Satish's mind was criticizing him. He was waiting to abuse Yogananda. And now, looking at the Divine Mother, Yogananda prayed, "O Divine Mother, will you not spiritually change my sister's husband? Please change his mind." And the Divine Mother said, "Thy wish is granted." Yogananda felt elated. He was thrilled. And just at that moment, Satish came running to him and angrily said, "Where is our food? You even failed to notify the authorities about us. It is too late now to arrange for our lunch. You are responsible for our going without food today." And Yogananda simply said, "The Divine Mother will feed us." And Satish shouted, "Once and for all, for heaven's sake, I would like to see your Divine Mother giving us food here. Enough of your devotion." And then, as these words were hardly uttered, a temple priest came running to them. He addressed Yogananda, saying that he had put aside ample food for them in the morning itself because he had observed the serene glow on Yogananda's face during his meditation. Although temple rules prohibited feeding of people who did not make any advance request, he had made a special exception for them. Satish was simply stunned at the turn of events. All of them had a heavy meal that day, and Satish seemed too bewildered to even speak during the return journey. The next afternoon, when Yogananda went to meet Roma, she excitedly shared that her husband Satish was grateful to Yogananda for transforming him. Satish sincerely repented, ridiculing him, and from that day, he took on to the spiritual path. How the Divine Mother destroys the demonic qualities within us is inexplicable, and each one of us has seen this happen in our own lives in so many ways and at various times. So in this line, Dehi Sharanam Asura Vinashini, we seek the protection of the Divine Mother who ceaselessly continues to destroy our demonic tendencies. Let's move on to the third line.
Dehi Sharanam Bhava Bhaya Harini.
Dehi Sharanam Bhava Bhaya Harini.
Here the new words are Bhava Bhaya Harini. Bhava denotes worldly existence. Bhaya means fear. Harini means she who destroys. How does the goddess remove fear of worldly life? It is by instilling faith in her and making us aware of the same divinity within us. Dr. Samuel Sandwis and his family have been devoted to Swami and practicing his teachings for many decades. In 2006, during an interview with Swami, one of the daughters, Miss Judy, was feeling overwhelmed by some issues that were troubling her. The all-knowing Lord spoke to her about Goddess Durga and her strength to combat evil. And Swami then told Judy that she too had all power within herself, and then lovingly materialized a Durga medal and a chain for her. Miss Judy says, I quote, "It gave me so much love and courage that it filled my heart and took away the pain and sadness I was feeling," unquote. Thus in this line, Dehi Sharanam Bhava Bhaya Harini, we pray to the Divine Mother who eradicates the fear of worldly life. We invoke her blessing so that we may develop faith in her and realize our innate power too. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Dehi Sharanam Hari Narayani
Dehi Sharanam Hari Narayani.
Here Hari refers to Lord Vishnu or Narayana. So the fourth word Narayani denotes his consort, Mother Lakshmi. One meaning of Narayana is he who resides in all living forms. Hence Narayani too means the energy principle who pervades everywhere. Thus in this line, Dehi Sharanam Hari Narayani, we seek refuge in the goddess who animates everything in this creation. Let's move on to the penultimate line of this bhajan.
Dehi Sharanam Brahma Sanatani
Dehi Sharanam Brahma Sanatani.
Here the new words are Brahma Sanatani. Like in every line of this bhajan, here the words are Dehi Sharanam again. Another way of interpreting this is Dehi means indweller and Sharanam means I offer myself. Thus, Dehi Sharanam also means I surrender myself to the one who dwells in all beings. That is Dehi Sharanam. Moving on, the third word Brahma denotes divinity and Sanatani means eternal. Thus, the phrase Brahma Sanatani means the goddess who is eternal. Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, the great master of the 19th century, who was very devoted to Mother Durga from his young age. He even became a priest of the Dakshineshwar Kali temple. Due to his childlike and pure devotion, he could see the Divine Mother in flesh and blood and even converse with her. In fact, once when Swami Vivekananda asked if he had seen God, Sri Ramakrishna said he could see Mother Kali and speak to her just as he conversed with Swami Vivekananda, then known as Narendra. Although Sri Ramakrishna was blessed in this manner, there is a very interesting episode from his life through which the Divine Mother revealed her true form to him. And Baba narrated this in a discourse during the summer course of 2002. On one occasion when Sri Ramakrishna stayed at Kamarpukur, his birthplace, he strongly desired to have darshan of Goddess Kali. Unable to bear the pain of separation from her, he attempted giving up his life by jumping into River Ganges. But however far he walked into the river, the water kept coming up to his knees. He could never submerge himself into the waters. Dejected, Sri Ramakrishna prayed, "O Mother of the Universe, why are you testing me in this manner? Why do you not reveal your form to me? Why do you not allow me to merge in you? I am unable to bear this pain." To this, the Divine Mother replied, "Son, I can show you my form if I had one in the first place. I have no form for you to see. My only form is that of the Atma. So contemplate on the principle of the Atma. You can see God in any form that you can think of. All the forms that you attribute to God are products of your illusion. None of them can be taken to be the true identity of divinity." This is what the Divine Mother told him. And during that discourse, after quoting this incident, Bhagwan gave a profound and timeless message. He said, "Get rid of body attachment. Cultivate attachment to the Atma instead. Do not aim to see the form of God. Instead, consider all the forms that you see to be that of God. Do not fix various forms as unique to God. Bhagwan has always stressed that He is the Dehi and not the Deha. That is, He is the indweller and not the physical body. In fact, he says, do not mistake this transient body, this deha, as real. It is the indwelling divinity, the dehi, that is the true reality. This divinity is beyond birth and death. This birthless, deathless and eternal God is the eternal witness for the entire cosmos. Recognize this eternal truth. When Swami stayed in the hospital during March-April 2011, it was an acid test for all the Sai devotees across the world. But Swami remained absolutely blissful even when his physical form underwent suffering. In fact, his last words in the physical form were this: Nenu haiga unnanu, naku etti badha ledu. Which means, I am quite comfortable. I am happy and blissful. I have no problem of any kind. Bhagwan chose that 1 month to demonstrate that he is the indweller in all and not the outer form. When he transitioned from the form to the formless, every devotee was devastated, was shocked. But over time, we have learned to move on because we feel his presence in so many ways, because we know that he is the eternal one. He is the divinity residing in all of us as the eternal soul. Hence in this line, Dehi Sharanam Brahma Sanatani, we offer ourselves to that eternal goddess who dwells within us and is with us every moment of our lives. Let's move on to the last line.
Dehi Sharanam Sai Narayani.
Dehi Sharanam Sai Narayani.
Here Sai can be split as Sa meaning divine and I means mother. Narayani refers to Mother Lakshmi, the one who confers all types of wealth and prosperity. On February 14, 2009, Swami visited the Mudanalli campus of Sai University for the foundation stone laying ceremony. Swami declared his divine will that the campus would be inaugurated in 1 year after overcoming all obstacles. The Lord assured that he would bear the entire cost of the project and told the patrons not to accept money from anyone outside. And on that occasion, he stated, when Lakshmi resides in my Vakshasthala, that is the region of the heart, why do I need anyone else's financial assistance? This is what Bhagwan declared. And this reminds me of what Bhagwan said about himself during the initial years of his avatarhood. He said, I have never taken even a paisa from anyone so far. I don't need anything. Whatever I need will come to me of its own. Hence, I have no necessity to stretch my hand before anybody. My hand is always above that of others. It is never below. This has been so right from my childhood and will continue to be so. I take pleasure in giving and giving, not taking. So that is our Divine Mother Sai Narayani, who is ever engaged only in the welfare of others. Hence in this line, Dehi Sharanam Sai Narayani, we surrender to the Divine Mother who is indeed the inexhaustible source of all wealth and all prosperity. With this, dear listeners, we are done with getting a glimpse of the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And with this deeper understanding, let's proceed to listening to this complete version of this bhajan. And as we listen to this, let's visualize the Lord in our mind's eye and pour out our heart and soul in singing and offering our music to her.
Dehi Sharanam Simhavari. Thank you.
In the last part of this program, let us listen to an extract of a conversation with Mr. Sujit Kumar, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who joined his college in 1998 and went on to do his bachelor's and master's in biosciences and currently teaches in the same department in the Prashant Nilam campus. Gifted with a powerful voice, he has had many opportunities of divine interaction and guidance directly from Bhagwan. Let us get a glimpse of his memories with the Divine Master. I have seen so many times Bhagwan interacting with you, and as you narrate, I really tempted to ask, were there occasions when Bhagwan really told you something or guided you in a particular manner that really was a shot on the arm, in the sense that it really encouraged you to take your singing to a different level?
Yes, one such experience I would like to narrate is what happened in Vrindavan. It was during the summer course. So during summer course, we have 10 days program, and on the final day, there is a program by the music students. So it was, I think, in my third UG. Swami told a few of the singers that prepare for a program on the end of the summer course. So like what happened those days, like Swami used to call every day for the interview, and Swami would ask, what did you practice today? Which song are you singing? So Tara, myself and Sai, yes, sir, we used to go every day, and he would correct us. He used to tell that, okay, this song doesn't suit you much. You can select some other song.
So he used to select the song for you.
He used to select the song, like depending on the voice. So Swami used to select. So it was almost 8 days. Swami selected all the songs, and on the 9th day, what happened? My voice totally went off.
Oh my God.
I went and told Swami, Swami, I won't be able to sing on the 10th day. Next day was the program. Swami told, why do you worry when I'm there?
Mm-hmm.
So Swami created a tablet on the 9th day evening. Swami told, take this now, and the next day I would give one more.
Mm.
So 9th, that was that day evening, Swami gave one tablet and Swami told to take. So next day morning also it was the same kind. So the 10th day morning, Swami gave one more tablet. Lo and behold, voice was cleared at that point of time and I could sing that day evening for the summer course program.
Amazing.
It was one such beautiful incident which
divine
happened.
Divine musician acting as a divine healer. Fantastic. So tell us more, Sujit. You also went with Swami to Kodaikanal.
Yes, I got an opportunity to go to Kodai in after my second PG. So what happened over there? There was no harmonium player in our group. So I got a chance to play harmonium and also singing. In Kodai, it used to happen that after bhajan, Swami would ask all the elders, how was today's bhajan? So on one particular day, after bhajan, Swami came and we were all sitting in the room and Swami asked few of the elders, how was today's bhajan? Swami started scolding everybody. See, you didn't sing well, your shruti was out. But when it came to me, Swami told, you sang very well. You
okay.
sang very high. I was wonderstruck. Like Kodai, as you know, it's very cold out there
yes.
and my voice doesn't suit cold.
It's not very good climate for singers.
For singers, exactly.
Yes.
So for me also, it was not very pleasant, but somehow I managed to sing a few bhajans. So at that point of time, Swami literally encouraged and he started praising.
So you're wondering why all this praise?
Why all this praise?
You don't deserve anything.
Swami told, you sang very well, you sang very high.
Mm-hmm.
So that was few of the...
I think those subtle ways he was all the time telling you that he's looking after you.
Yes,
as you mentioned,
yes,
first
very
time
much,
when you
very much, very
when
much
you sang, he said, I will look after you.
Yes,
and
really.
He kept on giving you those glimpses.
Glimpses, yes.
So that was Sujit Kumar, a doctoral research scholar and faculty member in the Department of Biosciences in the Prashantiniram campus of Bhagwan's University. And with this, we have now reached the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you found this useful and insightful. With gratitude, we offer this humble endeavor to our beloved Swami. The sound engineers for this program are Yatharta, Abhishek and Sunil. The background score was done by another alumnus, T.S. Ramakrishnan from Chennai. As always, dear listeners, your feedback and suggestions or requests related to this program are most welcome. Please mail us at listener@radiosai.org. listener@radiosai.org. With this, it's time to conclude this segment of Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai. The time in the studio now is 7:55. We are going late by almost half an hour today because the evening prayer session in Sai Kulwant Hall was extended today by almost 20-25 minutes. There was a beautiful Burakatha presentation about which I spoke in the beginning of this program. So we will have our next program, which is our 60 minutes of Hindi special now. And I will be back again after this Hindi program for yet another episode of our series Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. And today at 9, we are going to discuss about one epicenter of spiritual regeneration, of spiritual revolution that Bhagwan himself has established exactly on this day. April 4th, 40 years ago. Yes, it is the story of Shivam in Hyderabad. This, dear listeners, is a supremely sanctifying story which you will relish. All its details are so auspicious because Bhagwan himself created this edifice for the spiritual revival of this country, and this happened in this sacred month of April. So we will discuss all about this, the secret of this edifice and what Bhagwan had said when he established this beautiful
abode of his in Hyderabad. And that is coming up 1 hour from now at around 9 o'clock. Till then, a loving Sai Ram from me, Bishu, and all of us from Prashantinilayam. Over now to Abhishek.